Tamina. So, the Gemara's question is a question on the Makom Nezek. In other words, seemingly, we didn't have the question on the Mishnah. The Mishnah already told you how to evaluate Tzar Shelo B'Makom Nezek. What did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said, Omdim Kama Adam Rotza, Adam Kilti Bezer Rotza Lito Lios Mitzdarakach. But that was talking about a situation of Tzar Shelo B'Makom Nezek. So now, the Gemara asks the question, what about Tzar B'Makom Nezek? How do you evaluate that? Now, the obvious problem is, why is it different? Why would we think it's different? If we know from the Mishnah how to evaluate Tzar Shelo B'Makom Nezek, why should Tzar B'Makom Nezek be any different? So, one possibility, and this is in the Shita Mekubetzes, is that basically the two questions that we're about to read that the Gemara asks on Avod Shmuel wouldn't apply to the Mishnah. Avod Shmuel is about to answer. I'm Avod Shmuel. Om dim kam adamo talito liktoa yada. Which is what the Mishnah says on Ein Bo Nezek. But the Gemara says that doesn't make any sense. Liktoa yado lo tar l'chudehu ha kul chamisha dvarim ikka. And number two, lo bishof tini askinan. So, the reason why the Gemara only asked this question on Tzar Shelo, Tzar B'Makom Nezek, is very simple. Because first, the first question of the Gemara, of Tzar L'Chudei, it obviously does not apply if there's nothing but Tzar. Now, the Gemara's question is, when it's B'Makom Nezek, what's going to be? You're going to say, how much would a person get paid to get his hand chopped off? So that's going to include Nezek. But when there's no Nezek, right, how much would you get paid to get your fingernail burnt? So then that kasha doesn't exist. So the first question isn't a kasha on Tzar B'Makom. It's not a kasha on Tzar Shelo B'Makom Nezek. It's only a kasha on Tzar B'Makom Nezek. And the second question as well, Atu B'Shuftinei Yaskinan. So nobody is so stupid to take even $100 million to get their hand chopped off. But to get a little bit of pain, maybe a person would accept payment. In fact, they have such things. If you people get paid to get practiced on by medical students, like how do medical students learn to draw blood from veins and arteries and do other things? So they hire people to, you know, for practice, right? So there's not going to be Nezek. I don't think you could hire somebody to like get permanent damage, you know, volunteer open heart surgery. But you know, to get paid for Tzar, hey, it's conceivable a person might be willing to take money. So basically, Shita Mekubetzes is a very simple mahalich that the Gemara is asking this question only on Tzar B'Makom Nezek because the two objections don't apply to Tzar Shelo B'Makom Nezek. If you look at Rashi, Rashi is also addressing this question. Why we only ask it over here, but he gives a very different answer. Rashi is a very fascinating mahalich in this Gemara. Let's read Rashi carefully. Tzar b'makom nezek, hecha dekatas yado, v'nason lo damah, hechi shayminan es hatzar, halo yesh lo lekotitza b'shvil hadamim shenota. So what does Rashi mean? Yesh lo lekotitza b'shvil adamim shenota. Yesh lo lekotitza b'shvil adamim shenota. What does Rashi mean? So Rashi seems to be, I think, at least I only understood this Rashi when I looked at the Rashi al Torah. Rashi al Torah basically uses the same point, but he fleshes it out a little bit. Rashi in the Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. Shmos chafala fan petzatachas patza. So he says, what do you need petzatachas patza? Sha'afal pi shenosin lo deme yado. Ein potra no somenat sar velo marho vakana yado. Yeshalo lachatcha b'chol mashi yirtze. El omrim, yeshalo lachatcha b'sam. Shena mitztayar kol kach. In other words, the kasha is like this, as Rashi said in the previous Rashi, Nasa Moes Dameha. Tsar b'makom nezek. Why do you have to pay tsar b'makom nezek? Since you paid for nezek, Nasa Moes Dameha, Rashi said, I already paid for your hand, so yesh lo lekotzitza b'shvil adamim shenotel. I should have the right to chop it off, to do whatever I want. It's my hand, obviously. You're not supposed to. Even if I bought your hand, I can't mutilate it as I wish. But fundamentally, I paid for your hand. If I pay for it, something I pay for, I could do what I want with it. It's mine. So the Gemara Shaila here, that's what Rashi say. The Gemara Shaila is, since I bought it, as Lashon Rashi, Nasan Lo Dameha, I paid for your hand. So therefore, Yesh lo lekotzitza, I should have the right to cut it off. B'shvil adamim shenotel, as Rashi puts it, ala Torah, right? Af al pi shenosim lo dmei yado. So there the chiddush is, right? Ein potrin oso min atzar. Lomar ho v'kana yado yesh lo lechatcha b'chol mashir. So since I bought, I could do whatever I want. No, kamash blunt. So in other words, Rashi is explaining, why is this a kasha on only tsar b'makom nezek? It's not a kasha on the Mishnah, which is tsar shelo b'makom nezek. The answer is very simple. Tsar shelo b'makom nezek, I know why you have to pay for tsar. Since I didn't buy your hand, and I caused you pain, so I have to pay for the pain. But in the event that I bought your hand, so why do I have to pay for the pain? So it's a great question. Now that, right, we now understand why the Gemara is only asking the Shailam Tsar b'makom nezek. But it's not so clear, actually, then, how does the Gemara answer this question? Such a good question, right? Where's the Gemara answering it? Where's the Gemara answering it? So you have to say, no, that the Gemara's answer is basically also what Rashi says on the Chumash, which is, what the Gemara is showing is that there's a chiluk between Saif and Sam. That's what the Gemara's answer is. And therefore, the answer is very simple. Since, yes, true, I bought your hand, but like Rashi says, ala Torah, if I bought your hand, it should give me the right, as it were, to cut it off b'sam, without any pain. And I cut it off b'sayef, which is a very painful, so that requires additional compensation. Good? So that's what the Gemara is saying, yeah.
But at the time you caused the damage, you didn't own it. I can't break your car down and say, oh, I'll buy it in 5 years from now. So now I'm
it's true. So obviously I'm not allowed to, but Lemaisa, looking at payment, once I've paid for it, you can't also charge me for that. Lemaisa, let's say I go ahead, but I go ahead and I total your car, right? I mamish, your car's worth $8,000 anyway. I crash into it, I cause $10,000 worth of damage. So I'm going to have to pay for your car. And then I'm like so mad at you because I totaled your car. So I come out and I kick it and pop the tire. So, okay, right. So once I paid for the car, so we're going to down on each thing on its own, right? So Dayston says, okay, you totaled the car. I have to pay you $8,000. So now you say, okay, why don't you pay me for popping the tire also? I paid for the car, right? So you're right. Again, obviously, it's not. This isn't a car, it's a person. But the Havamina is that once I paid for the car, I bought your hand, so you're right, I didn't do it yet, but I'm paying for it, right? First, we're going to figure out the nezek, and I paid for the nezek, so now, you can't charge me also for the tzar. Answer is, no, I didn't have to do it, right? Okay, good. Right. Now, yeah?
Why is the chiluk between Sam and Saif relevant if he, Kiryoko, owns his hand?
So, the answer is, and you know, that's part of the chiddush of the Torah, when it says you paid tzar to Mokko. It, you know, perhaps without this chiddush, you wouldn't say it. But the answer is that a person isn't an object. And even if I pay for the right to cut off your hand, since I could have cut off your hand with no pain, and I cut off the hand with pain, the Torah is Mechadesh, when it says you paid tzar b'makom nezek, that requires separate compensation. That's what the Torah teaches me. when it says...
I mean, the fact that I have to pay for Tzar is another way of saying that this hand isn't really...
I haven't just paid for it. Okay.
It's not a pure mummunus.
Okay. You could take more than one, I think. Okay. I'm not gonna limit myself just yet. We'll try to get to that question. Now, yeah.
Why do we assume that when you buy the hand, it means you're allowed to take it? Maybe you own the hand as part of this body.
Again, it doesn't mean you're allowed to. But it means that, well, I mean, you're definitely not allowed to, right? But here, I did it anyway, so we have to figure out payment. And our question really is, did I pay for it already, right? If I paid for the entire value of your hand in Nezek, right? How do I know I paid for it? Because we evaluate what you're with a hand and what you're with without a hand. So, and I paid the difference. I paid for your hand.
The hand as it would have been if it's...
But I cut it off. We evaluate the value of the Eved with the hand and then value as an Eved with zero hand, right? So I bought the hand, right? Because that difference is the value of the hand on your body versus off your body. So I paid for that. So that's what the Gemara is asking, right? Right, which is again a fascinating point. Rashi really changes this first question on the Gemara, and I think he's doing that to explain this kasha of why we're only asking this question on Tzar B'Makom Nezek and not on Tzar Shelo B'Makom Nezek. Now, just an interesting ha'ara, which is that we quoted the Rashi al HaTorah, who says that that if you do it b'sam, eino mitztayer kol kach. Right? Rashi, I think, on Dalet Amud Beis is a similar lashon. But Rashi over here writes that there's no tzar at all for the hand, for the sum. Rashi over here writes, She'en sham tsar klal. Is it a steer in Rashi? So then the answer is pashut. That avadeh, in reality, there's probably no such thing as a sum that allows your hand to be removed with zero pain. Right? Even if it's like, you know, you go to the dentist, even if they put Novocaine on when they do your filling, it still hurts. It doesn't hurt as much. The sum is a lot better. A filling with Novocaine is a lot better than a filling without Novocaine, but it still hurts. So Rashi, that's what Rashi says in those places. But it doesn't make sense that difference between... The difference shouldn't be between sam and... Sorry, Sayef versus Sam, Sheinim and Starkel, right? I did it with pain unit, 10 units of pain. Sam would have been 2 units of pain, so I only have to pay for 8? No, I should pay for 10. So over there, Rashi is just trying to go ahead and show me that it makes sense that there should be tzar b'makom nezek. But over here, Rashi, later on, Rashi's trying to tell you how you practically calculate it. And you're going to practically calculate it versus Sayef versus Sam, which has zero pain. Because when we're figuring out how to practically calculate it, I should have to pay for your entire pain. So, you know, what would be if it was a magical sum that actually had zero pain? Okay, so let's... So one more point here. One more point. So the Gemara has this whole chakra, Tarya. I guess let's read the Gemara first, and then we'll make this point. So the Gemara has, that's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara answers. Ella l'ktoa yado aktua. How much money would you take to have your hand chopped off that was already ktua? Yado aktua. And therefore, right, and therefore it's not included in a nezek, and apparently a shuftani, even a non-shuftani would do this. Yadu aktua nami. Otsar l'chudayika, atzar voshes ikka. There's still boshes, and there's still tzar. T'ksifa le milso l'mishkal mibsaro l'mishdi el klavit. Right? Now there's this boshes of letting your hand get cut off, even if your hand is already a limp hand. Even if a person has a limp hand, there's boshes to have it removed. Ella, om din kamadim rotza lito l'kto el yado, amuchtav l'malchus bein tzam l'sai. My hand's anyway getting chopped off. It's going to get chopped off with saif. So how much money would I take to get it chopped off with saif, which is more painful? That's going to be the value of the pain. That's what the mazik is to pay the nizak. Ami hachan ami lo shakel umitzdar nafshe. Nobody's going to do that. Seems like the same question as atu b'shuftini askinan. Though we use a different lashon. We'll return to that point in a minute. Ella omdin kama adam rotza litain liktoa lo yado amuchtav l'malchus bein saif l'sam. So we switch it. It's not kama adam rotza lito, but kama adam rotza litain. Now at first glance, there's an interesting answer, because they should be the same thing, right? The amount of money I would be willing to pay to have my hand that's supposed to be cut off with the saif to be cut off with sam should be the same amount of money as the amount I would take not to. So there's a book, recently written book, just the last couple of years, by an Israeli economist named Kahneman, who's of course some relationship to the Panovich Arup. And his co-author was related, I forget his name, to another one of the Rashi Shiva in Eretz Yisrael. And their whole book, which like everybody's moded to now, was a tremendous einfeld in the field of economics, is this point. Economists always assume that people are rational. And rational people will, if you would spend this money to buy it, then you should sell it for that. In other words, it's like, you know, if I wouldn't buy it, why do I keep it in my closet, right? Or it's, people always have this problem with stocks, right? They would never buy this stock for this price, but they won't sell the stock for that price. So other than tax issues, that doesn't make any sense. But people do it that way. That's the way people are not rational. And therefore, that's exactly what the Gemara is saying. That was Kahneman, wrote a whole book about this line in the Gemara, that people aren't rational. And there's a lot of people that will go ahead. If I said, will you take $1 million to do this? No chance. But I wouldn't even pay $100,000 not to do it. So now, that's what the Gemara is answering. Kama adam rotza litein. Good. So that's a great shot, except, hi lito, litein mi boyulari. Except, now this could be, this line could be read two ways. It could be a kasha from Avodah Shmuel, because Avodah Shmuel said lito, or it could be a kasha from the Mishnah. The Mishnah said lito. Sam Ravuna, Braid Rav Yoshua, lito, mizeh, mashinasan lezeh. Lito really means lite. Lito, from this, what he'd be willing to pay. Good. So now, the question that we have at this stage in the Gemara is like this. Is this going on the Mishnah, or is this going only on Avodah Shmuel? And so we started off by noting that the Gemara's kasha is a kasha on tsar b'makom nezek. Right? How do you pay for tsar b'makom nezek? And the Gemara concludes that tsar b'makom nezek, how is that evaluated? Kama adam rotza litein, how much money would you pay if your hand was going to be muchtav l'malchus for saif, how much money would you pay to get that downgraded to saif? So, does that mean we're going to go back on the Mishnah and say the same thing for the Mishnah? Even though the Mishnah said that by tsar shalo b'makom nezek, you pay, you estimate kama adam rotzeh lito, how much money would you take to get your fingernail burnt? But here too, it would be kama adam rotzeh liten, not lito. We sort of come to this discussion via our discussion of tsar b'makom nezek, but the same point, the same kasha of hachanami lo shakilu b'tsar nafshe is on the Mishnah. Or no, this is only a question on avuah d'shmuel, when the Gemara asks, "Ay lito liten lito ktani," it's only a kasha of avuah d'shmuel, and the Mishnah remains unchanged. So the Rush has both options. Initially, the Rush assumes that it sounds like from our Gemara that this whole discussion is only a discussion about what? About Tsar B'Makom Nezek. Tsar Shelo B'Makom Nezek. The Gemara was okay with. So Tsar Shelo B'Makom Nezek, it will be Kama Adam Rotzeh Lito. And Tsar B'Makom Nezek, it's going to be Kama Adam Rotzeh Lito. And why would that be? So the Rush is some type of line, which is hard to understand. Maybe we'll get back to it a little later, that it's Iafshar to do Kama Adam Rotzeh Liten. But then the Rush is, actually, I think it makes more sense, even though I said it's Iafshar, I think it's Efshar. And it makes a lot more sense, Lamaskana, this is the conclusion of the Rush, that the discussion here is equally about the Mishnah and Bein Tsar B'Makom Nezek, Bein Tsar Shelo B'Makom Nezek, you're going to pay, you're going to evaluate it based off of Kama Adam Rotzeh Liten. That's the Rush. The question is, what does the Rambam hold? The Rambam writes in Perek Beis Halacha Tes, Kama Hu Atzar, Hakol Lefi Anizach, Yesh Adam Shuhu Rach, Ve'anug Be'oser Bal Mamon, Ve'ilu Nosnu Lo Mamon Harbe,
Yado Ragla Baumdin Kama Yesh Bain Zel Azel Mashalim Mamazik.
So the tour on this Rambam is Medayik that the Rambam holds like the first version of the Rush. Not the Rush's Maskana, but what the Rush thought originally, that if it's Tsar Shalo B'Makom Nezek, it's going to be Kama Adam Rotzeh Lito. And Tsar B'Makom Nezek is Kama Adam Rotzeh Liten. Now, where did he get that from the Rambam? So there's probably two diukim that way. Number one is in Halacha Tes. At the beginning he writes, Yesh Adam Shurach Ba'anav V'yoser Val Mamon V'ilu Nosnu Lo Mamon Harbe Loi Mestar Me'at. Right? And that's not really relevant if you learn like the Rush. Really, it should be the eno muchan lases mamon harbe shelo letzdaer afilu ma'at, or something like that. And B, the diuk is probably from the formulation of halacha yud, which is ketzad misharin hatzar b'makom shechas reiver, right? Implying that this, what he's about to say, is dafka b'makom shechas reiver. According to Rush, this is basically true, even b'makom shelo chasru eiver. Now the diuk isn't muchach, as the Shilta Giborim disagrees with the Tur over here at Sanlam and Amud Beis. Maybe the Rambam is just quoting this formulation because that's the case in the Gemara. He says halacha tes nasnu because that he's trying to explain the kiyoti of the Mishnah, and I think the biggest reason not to learn the Rambam like the Tur is because if the Rambam actually held like the Tur, then he should say Ketzad Misharin B'Makom Shelo Chasro Eiver, And then we would say, kama adam rotalito. In other words, if he held there's this difference, as the Torah is claiming to say, so he'd have to, he should say that explicitly. How in the world are you supposed to figure out from the Rambam that v'makom shelo chasro ever, it's kama adam rotalito? The Rambam didn't quote that at all. So you could say, well, the Rambam didn't quote it from the Gemara and expect you to figure it out. But not so posh. Yeah, but then you're supposed to figure out, but if it's lo chasro ever, then it's lito? How do you know that?
Test
doesn't say kate's a mishare. Kate test is just say, right? Test does not tell you at all how you figure out how much. Kate test is just telling you what's a kol lefi hanizak. Why is it kol lefi hanizak? Because there are some rich people that are very pampered, so they wouldn't take even a ton of money. And then there's some poor people that are very hard that would, right? In other words, there's no ketzad mishar in halacha tes.
Because the maskana of the Gemara, litain is a better way of being mishar. So when he calls it, he tests it's just.
I understand. Blood. So you
kama blood tzara, there's no mishar because you can't be mishar because it's not. Alpi the maskana, litain was a better way of evaluating. So it's not a shear.
Oh, so then, so do you pay litain or not? You're learning what's that?
By shalom mako.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
It's litain. It's litol or litain. Shalom mako.
It's litol, like the pasha.
Yeah, so shouldn't the Rambam say that?
No, it's because litain, the maskana of the Gemara is that litain is a better way of evaluating. That's a shear.
Good. So how am I supposed to figure out, reading the Rambam, if I just had halacha tes and halacha yud, that I'm supposed to figure out ketzad misharin shelo b'makom nezek, that we go lito, right?
It says
nasnu lo. In what context? He's telling you how. What does it mean hakol lefi hanizak? He's not telling you ketzad misharin over there, right? He's telling you why is it? What does it mean kol lefi hanizak? Right. So again, that's what the Torah is going to say. I'm just pointing out that I think, you know, both are difficult. That's why you can read both ways in the Rambam. But the Shilting, the Torah's reading of the Rambam is a difficult read because he didn't tell you this very important point. But one way or the other, even if it's either the Torah is right, Bedasa Rambam, but we need to figure it out because even if the Torah is, if the Shilting Yibom is right, Bedasa Rambam, it happens to be. There are a number of Rishonim that explicitly argue with the Rush. The Smag disagrees with the Rush. The Raivid disagrees with the Rush. It's two days in the Shita Mekubetzes L'chora. So there are Cholkim on the Rush as Maskana. Maybe, you know, however you learn the Rambam. So well, let's assume the Rambam like the Torah. So what is the Machlokas? What is the Machlokas? So, first of all, if you look at the how the Rush reads the Gemara, remember when the Gemara says "Amri Hachan by El Omdim Kam Adam Rotz Elito Lektor Lo Yado Hamuchtav L'Machlos Ben Sam L'Sayef Amri Hachan Ami Lo Shakil Umitztayer Nafshei." So. What does that mean? What does that mean? So look at the Rush. It's very interesting. The Rush says, what does that mean? A person wouldn't pay that much. Right? He writes, this is a Shuma Rabba. It's a lot. If you look at Rashi, how did Rashi read that line? Halo shakil komim mamon sheba olam letzar nafshe lekotetza. Right? Nobody would ever pay kol mamon sheba olam for that. Well, why does that make a difference? So what forced us to flip from our original understanding of lito to lito? Right? So the way Rashi reading the Gemara, what's forcing us to flip is that you can't do lito. It's just impossible, right? Kol mamon sheba olam would not be enough. It's sort of the simplest reading of the Gemara. The lesson of the Gemara is lo shakil. The person won't do it, right? Kol mamon sheba olam. Whereas, according to the Rush, so the pshat is a little different. It's going to be a lot, right? It's not like the first Gemara. We noted that first question of the Gemara was Atu B'Shuftin Yaskina, right? The Rashi picks up on that. B'Shuftin Yaskina, no normal person would take Kol Mamon Shebe Olam. Whereas here, your hand anyway is a limp hand. So you would ask a lot of money before getting it chopped off, but it's not, you know, there's still a price, right? A person's hand is priceless. But for this, there's a price. It's just a high price. So what difference does it make? The answer is it's a very big difference. Meaning to say, this gets exactly to the point that Eitan said, which is, what is the better shuma? Is the better shuma litol or lite? So the Rush understands that the better shuma is lite. Anytime there's a difference, it's lite. Why is that the better shuma? Because it's lower. Why is lower better? So the Rush tells you that there's a source for this. The source is a Gemara in the sixth parak. Uvir b'steacher. And Bir B'stei Acher basically tells me that when there's two ways to calculate a damage, we're Mekil B'Shuma. We pick the lower one. And therefore, effectively, Litain is better than Litol, at least if you could do it, if it's possible. Why? Even if you could do both, you could do both, but litain is better because it's we're always meikel b'shuma. It's a fulfillment of that rule. Uvir b'steacher teaches me we're meikel b'shuma. When there's two ways to calculate damages, we pick the lower one. You know, probably something along the lines of ultimech v'araya, right? You show that you have to pay the higher one, otherwise I should be entitled to pay the lower one. Now that's what the Rush does. Well, but the other possibility is no. That actually litol is much better because that's what happened, right? I didn't want my hand chopped off and you chopped my hand off. So however much money I would take to get my hand chopped off, that's the correct shuma. And the only reason we're going to flip it is if litol is impossible, like the Gemara says. Lo shakil u'mitzar nafshe, afilu nosnin lo kol mamon shebaola. Doesn't matter. So if litol is impossible, we're forced to do lite. So now, in the case of tsar shelo b'makom nezek, where litol is possible, so we're going to follow litol, right? That, after all, is the better shuma. There's no reason to go with the lower one. That's one way to understand the machlokas, right? So the machlokas is, do you have this klal of ubir b'steacher? Right now, we're not learning that sugya now, but the Rush is making a jump over here to learn from Bir B'Steacher to every case. And in fact, you could make the opposite argument without going into too many details. We find from the din of Meitav that Adarabba, you pay top notch, right? Tosis and Kiddushin on that base. It says for Meitav, we would think that perhaps we don't say Shava Kasef Kekasef for Nizikin. And not only that, but the fact that you paid Tsar and Boshes, you don't pay Tsar and Boshes for an animal, shows that in the world of Kabbalah we pay maximally, not minimally. So the fact that we pay Arba Dvarim plus Nezek shows we pay maximally. So one way to understand this machlokas between the Rambam and the Rush is the Rush holds up this idea of Bir B'Steacher that tells me any calculation of damage is always minimal, and the Rambam and the other Rishonim who disagree with the Rush disagree with that principle, and they say no, that's not true. And here they disagree with that application of Bir B'Steacher. Moreover, now if you look at the Rush says actually a second reason why he he prefers saying that even in the Mishnah you pay litain. And that's because aval tsar zek far nasa. If you look at the Pilpul Harifta, he says it's levachatimos. In other words, you don't actually need that reason, because you already have the reason of bier b'stei acher, but levacha de milsa, because it's actually true. So we have a second machlokas. If you want to, one way to look at it is like this. The fact that a person would pay much less not to have the tsar than he would agree to be paid in order to have the tsar. So what is the true price, right? Is the true price, the true value, if you wish, what you would be willing to pay to get it, or what you would take to sell it? Right? There's a certain product. I see it in a store, $10. I wouldn't buy it. If you offered me $10 to you, I wouldn't sell it. Right? So that might not make any sense. But there is this differential. That's the reality that the Gemara is aware of. And especially in the case of tsar. So what's the pshat? Is the pshat, so let's say, I don't know, I would pay $1,000 not to have the tsar, but I wouldn't get the tsar unless you paid me $2,000. So it's the pshat that really it's worth $1,000 to me, because that's what I would pay for it, but I'm just scared of paying. So I would only take $2,000. The real value is $1,000, or reverse, right? And that too seems to be the machlokas over here. The Rosh is saying tsar zek farnasa. In other words, they're debating what is actually the more precise value. And then there's actually probably a third potential issue here, because
we didn't see that from the tsar farnasa.
The Rosh is saying, the logic is, since it already happened, the more precise way of evaluating it is the money I would be willing to pay not to have it happen, because it happened. It happened already. If it didn't happen, fine. But it happened. So what explains the Tosefta? What explains the extra $100,000? Because I'm a little like, I'm scared if it happened. But it happened. So now, this is all it's worth. Farnasa. Now, which is, again, the third point, is again, the Rush already told you what the Rambam might hold, because that was his Lishna Kama. He didn't like it. But he had that Lashon, which, right, his Lashon is, again, in his first Tzad, to be Mechalik, Aval Tzar Shalom B'Makom Nezik, Yafshir Lashon B'Inyan Acher. For Vos Nisht. Right, he's about to tell you, it's totally afshar. Right, how are we going to do it? How much would you pay not to have if you're muchtav l'malchus to get your nail burnt, how much would you pay now? Why is it the afshar? And then he says it's afshar. So if we could figure out what the afshar in the Rambam, in the Rush is, in his Lishna Kama, we might understand why the Rambam Taka thinks it's true. So look at the Pavulei Harifta. I think his pshat is, it's one pshat, I thought it was difficult. The Drisha has a different pshat. Right. The high time of Dibishlama ben Nezek, this is in Simon Tav Chav, Sivkat Yud Zayin, it's also in the Sman Shalmach. The high time of Dibishlama ben Nezek, b'makom tsar, d'gzeres ha-melech, Hashem Yisorech, l'katzei tziyado v'sayef, k'mo shechatachu b'chaveiro, Ve'ikar hatzivoy hushiyachzar yado. Right, mashenke benezek shelo b'makom tzar. De'im nishayer kama yitein lihinatzel lo kayim klal zeres hamelach Hashem yisbarach. Shaleinu lasos kviyah tachas kviyah. De'ainu deme shavya kama yikach adam lekavos nafsho. I think what he's saying is, kviya tachas kviya really is kama adam rotza lito. Because that's what tachas means. Tachas means kama adam rotza lito. right? How much you'll be willing to pay not to have this happen to you. So that's tachas. But b'makom nezek, we're mekayem the tachas because you're paying d'mei yado. So memela al yaday, you know, the drasha of ubi b'stei acher, at the very least, we could say kama adam rotza lite. I think the Rav said a similar part. Not he didn't phrase it the same way as the, but he said like this. To be makom nezek hadin l'shalim tachas ha'ever hanechbal miskayim b'dmei hanezek v'tzar hu tashlumin de'alma l'fikach mekilim b'tzar u'mishalim kefi ashuma k'tana. This is like the Rav tries to put everything into these two categories. See, throughout the whole pact, he's saying, if a mekayim ubir b'stei acher is a din in tashlumin, it's not a din in onesh. So if a mekayim onesh aydei nezek, so then tsar becomes tashlumin. So memela, I could say ubir b'stei acher. But if there's no other onesh, so then the tsar is the onesh, and if the tsar is the onesh, then I don't apply the principle of ubir b'stei acher, so I have to pay the higher amount. Because it's Batar's onesh. It's a bit of a chiddush, because it sounds like from the Rambam that tzar is always onesh, right? Even if there's nezek. That's the Rambam. You see, it's mevuah in the Rambam in Parakei. Tzar is always onesh. But in terms of the halach, so basically what we're saying is there's three points of contention over here, right? Number one, how to understand, what does bi'er b'stei acher teach us? Number two, what's the ideal tashlumin? And number three, right, litel or litain, or do you hold it as far about sarfanasa if you want to use it that way? Number three is this vart of iafsha, which takes you back to the understanding of tachas. The psak of the Shulchan Aruch is unclear. The Rama accepts the Rush, that's clear. The Mechaber, and I would have said the Mechaber sounds like the Rush, because he's not mechalek between b'makom and shelo b'makom. But at the same time, the Mechaber quotes a lashon of the Rambam, and if you look at the Beis Yosef, there's no other interpretation of the Rambam other than the Tours. He doesn't quote the Shilta Yibogim, so it could be that the Mechaber is passing the Rambam. Okay. One other issue that relates to this Gemara, we'll talk about it here, because it relates to the question we're discussing here, which is the nature of tsar. Very important point. The Rush discusses this explicitly, as I said, in Perek HaKonis, Perek Vav, and in Tess. It's in the Tosa Rush on our Sugya, at least in the fancy versions of the Tosa Sarush. There's a Marshal who discusses it also over here in Yamshel Shlomo Os Ches. But the best place to really see it is in the Tshuva Sarush, in Klal Kuf Aleph Simen Beis. And that's like this. Very important question. It's a question by Tsar and also really for Voshis as well. Do you pay for the Tsar only that's experienced at the time of the wound, at the time of the assault, or also all future Tsar? Right? We all know that when you get hurt, the pain continues. So what Tsar are we looking at? Now, the truth is, I would have thought from the Pashas of Gemara, Omdim Kama Adam Rotza, whether it's Litol or Litain, that presumably should encapsulate all Tsar, even future Tsar. But the Ri brought a Raya that we don't have to pay for future Tsar. And his Raya is from the Sugyan Subos. I don't think we need to get into it now. But the Sugyan Subos says something along the lines of, they were talking about Na'anes. So it says, Ha'ones no'osin es atzar. And the Gemara says, what tzar is there? And the Gemara says, tzar shall pisuk mei raglai. It goes through Shakta Vitaya. And then the Gemara asks, what about Mefuta? And it says, no. That pitoy, there's no tzar shall mei raglayim, pisuk raglayim. So therefore, you don't pay for tzar and the mefuta. So the Ri says, I don't know what's going on over there. First of all, everybody knows that there's a tremendous amount of pain when the basulos are are removed, not just at that moment, but later. In fact, he says, rove people get sick from that tsar. At least rove ketanos get sick from Bia Rishona. So, first of all, what in the world is the Gemara Shaila? What kind of tsar? And second of all, what are you talking about when it says that there's no tsar for a mafuta? They get sick. So the answer must be that the pshat is that you only have to pay for the tsar at the moment of the assault. And that's what we're saying. For mefuta, that the tsar, the pleasure of the tashmish somehow cancels out, so the pikchos say, the tsar of the asaras bezur. They have a lot of pain afterwards, Taka, but the pleasure cancels out the pain. So memela, when there's onus, you have that, and when there's mefuta, you don't have that. And the fact that everybody's in a lot of pain afterwards and even get sick, that's all for pain that takes place afterwards. That pain isn't comforting. Isn't included. Now the problem is, what about our Gemara? Our Gemara is mefarsh against the Ri. So says the Rosh, mikol makom ein omdin ela b'shas chaticha bilvad. Meaning to say, even though it's not the simple reading of our Gemara, you have to say that what our Gemara means is, how much money would you pay or be paid not to experience the pain of that moment, but we exclude the later pain. Now, what would the svara be? Right? Why would you? Lamaisai caused you pain for 3 days. So why am I only paying you for the pain of the moment of the assault? So we'll get back to that question. But that's the opinion of the Ri. He proves it. So the Rosh is Dolcha the Raya. Says, no, it's different. The reason why you don't have to pay for the pain that comes out after Hasaras Besulim, or for that matter, at all for the Mefuta, is because Sofo Litzdar Tachas Baila, meaning to say, that pain she's going to get anyway. The Ma'anes or the Mefata doesn't have to pay for that pain. That's a pain she's going to experience sometime in her life. So she's going to have it after she, if it wasn't manes or mafat to her, she would have that pain after she got married. And now he gave you the pain prematurely. But since that's a pain that's inevitably going to be experienced, so therefore there's no need for the chovel to pay for it. But if you're going to experience this pain tomorrow, so even though I made you have it a day earlier, I shouldn't have to pay for it. But the tsar that takes place when the actual point of anusa, right, so the husband's not going to be anes his wife, so that pain would be experienced later on. So the mela, that has to be paid, compensated. Good. So now, takat a great tachia. So the question is what's the Ri going to say? So the Rosh is like this. I actually think that even though the Rosh is Takadocha, the Raya of the Ri didn't just say it Machmas the Raya, but there was a Svar. We asked before, what was the Svar of the Ri? Why did he think you don't pay for a Tsar that comes afterwards? And the answer is, it's Dami Lagrama bin Ezekin. Meaning to say, of course, I am the cause of the pain you're going to experience tomorrow. But maybe I'm not the direct cause. It's like grama. Now is not the time to do this sugya. Grama and what's grama and what's biadaim and what's garmi and the like. That's a big sugya. But we understand to some degree that the pain you experience later is much less direct. And then he has a very interesting lashon. Midi de'avei aboshes. Shekol yamav hu mizbayesh kishemazkirin lo aboshesh and mizbayesh boshes shah. Afel pichein, ein shamanu ela boshesh oshoshan, right? Boshes, for sure it's true. Maybe you could question whether the Rashi would agree to this or disagree with this, but the Ri held like this, right? When I go ahead and Philip slaps me on the face,
I say a man nesar in shir. He says, how could you say that? It's against Reb Chaim. I'm getting you back. Right? So now, like, okay, that's very embarrassing. So obviously, we're going to charge Phil for embarrassing me. But like, years later, Adam says to me, you remember that time that you said that svara? And it was such a bad svara, and Phil slapped you across the face. I'm going to turn that again. I'm going to experience boshes my whole life because of that. So that's going to be included in the boshes? No. Karchach, we only consider the boshes b'shas ma'isa. Agav, you have to think about how that relates to that Rambam that we talked about, who says that you pay for the boshes that's experienced later in front of the Eidim, or in front of the Beis Din. Maybe we'll come back to that. But anyway. And then he says, v'lo dami l'ripoy. Now there's clearly ripoy, I'm paying for the ripoy that's afterwards. And not only that, but as you know from the Gemara later on, the chaisa v'nistara kama pavim chayva l'rafosa, calls manchalo chaisa kol tzarka. Right, ripoy, you're paying for the ripoy, not just b'shas ma'isa, but again and again and again. V'cheinu olitz mochem, etc. Deshani ripoy v'shevesh enam chalim ela achar, ad achar ha'maisa. So let's figure out what that means. Ripoy and sheves is chal achar ha'maisa. V'lo dami l'tzar boshes shehem b'shas ma'isa. It's a very interesting idea. Maybe we'll talk about that today. We'll get back to it later. But something along the lines of the loss of the ripoy only takes place after the ma'isa, right? When the medical bills come in, or whenever. Whereas tzar and boshes come out b'shas ma'isa. So b'kitzer, what comes out is, again, the re brings a right from onus mefata, hey, don't pay for tsar, that takes place afterwards. The rash was dochel raya, but the rash says the re still holds misvara, this is going to be true, because the tsar that comes afterwards is gram. And then we have to ask, what's the rash hold? Right? Does the rash hold, I agree it's grama, but nevertheless the Torah is machayev you? That's when the Torah says, you know, maybe all Sheves is going to be Gurama, for example, and you still pay for Sheves. Torah's Machayev you. Or maybe they argue about Gurama, right? Maybe the Re considers this Gurama, but the Rash would disagree with Gurama. Do they disagree about Tsar? Do they disagree about, right? What do I mean they disagree about Tsar? Maybe the re holds, the rash holds, you pay demei tsar. And even though it's going to be tsar that's experienced later, we look at the value of the tsar, and that's what's paid for immediately. We could get back to all these questions, but right, you could really see several possibilities in understanding this machlokas, you know, both in terms of the re and the rash. But maybe we'll get back to that shortly, but maybe not so shortly. But we'll have to get back to this question, but it's an important question. Yes?
So the Rashmi is built on the right.
Yeah.
It's the pain that she experienced in the subsequent day that would come anyways.
Right.
And the actual mice itself.
Mm-hmm. The onus wouldn't have happened. In other words, No, that's why you're pater for pitoy, but chai for onus. In other words, pitoy is taka like me. So, but onus isn't. Okay. So this question, I guess tomorrow we'll have to get back to it. But very important question to think about going forward, about all of them, right? What's the pshat in Sheves? Is that a grama and your chayev, or it's not grama? Same thing for Ripoy. Same thing for Boshes, same thing for Tsar. So we're gonna analyze all those questions, but we have to, those are very fundamental questions. Very fundamental questions. And one possible nafkamina is what we just saw, both the question of Tsar and Boshes that come subsequently. But let's read on now. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Alubot Smachim. Machmas Hamaka, the Nistra, Hamaka. Chayv Rafoso, the Chayv Litein Lo, d'mei shivta. Shalom achma samaka. Eino chayiv l'raf osav eino chayiv b'yitem od mei shivta. If you don't hear. Ach machma samaka chayiv l'raf osav. Eino chayiv b'yitem od mei shivta. L'chachamim omrim. Shivta v'rafuaso kosh chayiv v'shabas chayiv v'ripoi. Sheino chayiv v'shabas eino chayiv v'ripoi. So we have three opinions over here. We have the Tanakama, who says you're chayiv in both. We have Rabbi Yehuda, who says you're chayiv in Ripoy, not in Shabbos. And we have the Chacham in Basrai, who say you're patur in both. But we don't know exactly what they're arguing about. B'mai kemiflagi, Amar Rabba, Ashkach tinu l'rabbanan bebei rav. D'yasvi b'ka'amri, hach b'maka nitna legit kemiflagi. Rabbanan savri, maka nitna legit. Rabbi Yehuda savar maka lom. Reboy to Tana Bekra, Machayev. Shabbos to Lot Tana Bekra, La Machayev. So the Tana Kama holds we have a drasha. Okay, so we'll start with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's a double lashon, a reboy for reboy, Rapo Yirape. Rapo Yirape tells me that you pay for a certain type of reboy. Ripoy, that I would think you're pater for. And what is that? That's lo nitna le'aget. So even though it's lo nitna le'aget, Rappel Yerape teaches me you pay for it. Whereas, since it's lo nitna le'aget, the lost work that's due to the aged, so that you don't have to pay for. V'amina lahu ana, I, Rabba, said back to the Bei Rav, Rabban Bei Rav, imaka lo nitna le'aget, yipuinami lo mechayev. Now, I, these exeris akasav, doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense that this can be a gzeiras hakasav to be mechayev something that's lo nitan. What does nitan and lo nitan mean? So Rashi explains nitna leged, nitna rishus lenechbau leogda. Le'atva mipnei tzar atzina va'olin atzmachim machmas hevel v'choim ha'eged. Lashon nitna rishus is reminiscent of what the Gemara is going to say later, nitan rishus with the rofe l'rafos. What's the pshat? Pshat is that here we have a scenario, it's, you know, dealing with pain. Sina, tsar. Right? This is a very common medical question, which is a lot of times there are a negative side effects associated with pain relief. So, nitin rishus l'rovi l'rafos. You're allowed to get medical treatment for the wound. But what about for pain reduction? Right? Maybe the Torah wasn't matir that. Lo nitin rishus. And especially over here, where there is the potential for negative side effects. If you treat the pain, so then you might get these tzmachim. So lo nitan rishus. Torah didn't allow this type of medical treatment. So, therefore, even if we have this drasha of irapo irape, Rabba said it doesn't make sense that you should have to pay compensation for the damages that are a result of this refuah that you weren't even allowed to do in the first place. So how does he explain it? Ela dekuli alma maka nitna le'aged. Lo nitna le'aged yaseira. You're allowed to do the aged in this case. But not aged yaseira.
whatever that means, making it too tight, too much bandages, or putting the bandages on a little further, past where is necessary. And that's what happened over here. You were allowed to put on bandages, and you did, but you put on a little more bandages than you needed to, again, because you were concerned about pain or cold or whatever it is. It wasn't just stam. And now, because you did the Agad Yisera, so alu botzmachen. And the question is, do you pay for it? If you just offer came into lo nitna lo Agad Yisera, ripoy, detana beikra mechaya, shavas de lo tani beikra lo mechaya, it's lo nitna lo Agad Yisera. But since it says rapi, you pay. And since... but since there's no special drasha for Sheves, you don't pay. Rabbanan, meaning the Tanakama, Savri Kevan, the Tanabek Rabbi, Sheves Namuchai, Diskish Labipoi, the Tanakama, as well as the Chachamim Basra, he holds up this Hekish. So, Deres HaKasav, just like your Chai for Ripo, your Chai for Sheves. The Rabbi Yehuda, Savar Sheves Lomachayev, the Mia Terachman Arak. Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda hold to the Hekish? Because it says Rak Shivto Yitain, implying you don't pay that maximal amount. Rabbanan, L'shalom Achmasamaka Huda Asa. So the Rabbanan say no. What do you need Rak for? Shalom Achmasamaka. What does Shalom Achmasamaka mean? So the Gemara clarifies later on. Means that the doctor said don't do this and you did it anyway. The doctor said don't eat honey because honey is bad for the wounds, and you, the patient, didn't listen. You ate honey. And that taka, even the Tanakama is going to potter you for. So the obvious question here is like this. I don't understand Rabba. Rabba told me that if lo nitam le'eged, it doesn't make any sense that even if we have this drasha of rapi rapi, you would have to pay for it. Right? So, if lo nitam le'eged yisera, then why should rapi rapi tell me you have to pay for it? Right? I don't understand. In other words, if rapi rapi isn't machayev something that's lo nitam, right? So then, what difference does it make if lo nitan leged or lo nitan leged yisera? Either rapui rapi could tell me you're chai for something even though it's quote unquote lo nitan, or the rapui rapi is not going to tell me something that doesn't make any sense. And therefore, if it's lo nitan, you don't pay for it. But what's the difference? What's the difference? And there's going to be even a bigger question. We'll get to that in a minute, but that's... Ad kedei kach, that you need a gzeres hakasav to be mema'eid shelo keneged hamaka, machmas hamaka. Not, you know, why would I? That's ridiculous to have a magic. The doctor said, "Don't do it." And you do it. You're fine. Well, let's go back to the first question. So the Rashba addresses this first question. The lo nitna leged yisera. The afal gav de lo nitna leagod yisera. Afal gav de agdo agod yisera. Lav poshaya gamur hu umidishanabo akasav ripoi chayev mashenke niyamina de lo nitna leged klal dazak ushe gamur viyashu shachayev akasav ripoi misha pashab shia gamura bat. In other words, there is pshia and there's pshia gamura. For the Torah, based off of exer sakasav rapo yirape to say yachayev for pshia, that's something we could hear. Well, we wouldn't have said that without exer sakasav. But it doesn't make any sense to tell me that even with a gzeres hakasav, you would be chayav for pshia gemura. So now, if the Torah said you may not put on a bandage, and you put on a bandage, that's pshia gemura, right? It is like bechlal, you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed. If the Torah said you're allowed to put on a bandage, and I wrap the bandage a little too tightly, so that's pshia, right? Lo nitna, but it's not a pshia gemura. You know, it's hard to avoid. It's hard to do, especially because I know if I don't wrap it tightly, I'm going to be in a lot of pain. So that's the chiluk. Okay, beautiful chiluk. But the problem is, Aver al divrei ha-roife, what is that? Is that a pshia gemura or pshia? Doctor said, don't eat honey, and I eat honey. What would you say? Pshia gemura or pshia? I would say that's pshia gemura, right? So then the whole thing is kaput. So somebody who says there's going to be tzmachim, and right? In other words, why is it that if you held lo nitna le'eged, that you're pshia gemura if you put on an eged? Because the doctor said that if you put on eged, it's going to be tzmachim, maybe. If we're not, maybe. But it's like very strange. So I thought like this. Once you tell me that I'm chayav for pshia, so it's telling me, now why should I be chayav for pshia, right? Kol Torah Kula, you're never chayav for pshia. If you were poshea, why should I have to pay for it? You do what you were supposed to do. I'll pay for your medical costs that are a result of your following the directions. But why pshia gemura? So you could say, yeah, okay. That's a chasuv. Or you could say, let's try to understand it. What that indicates is that this is, if you want to say it in an extreme way, we'll say that this is an onesh. And if it's an onesh, so then maybe you should be chayiv even if you went against the doctor's orders. Because we're outside of the realm of tashlum. And that's why we need rak to potter you. Or if you want to, you know, say, the Rambam says refuah isn't an onesh, right? Okay, so I'll tell you that's kufa, that's because we had because of rak. Or if you don't want to say it as far as that. Once you say you're chayiv posheya, you show that you're chayiv to pay for anything that would not have occurred were it not for the injury, right? In other words, it's true. I was poshea when I put on this bandage a little too much, right? And that's why. Why do I have tzmachim? I agree, because of my pshia. But if it wasn't for you beating me up, then I still wouldn't have tzmachim, right? So you're the ultimate cause for the tzmachim. There would be no tzmachim here if it wasn't for you, right? A modern day example: somebody injure somebody else's back, so they have no choice but they have to take pain medication, and then they become addicted. Right? So who has to pay for the addiction treatment? So the mazik says you didn't follow the doctor's orders. Doctor said take 2 pills a day, and you took 3. That's why you're addicted. And the nizak says that's true. But I never took these kinds of stuff until you hurt my back. So you should have to pay, right? I never became an opioid addict. I wasn't like, I didn't use heroin recreationally. I became an opioid addict because of the pain, because you hurt my back. And okay, I was in so much pain, I just took some extra drugs. And now I can't stop, so yeah, I need to go to treatment. So the fact that you're chayiv for pshia shows that b'atzem, the mazik, is chayiv for all things that wouldn't have existed without absent the injury. So same thing for shalom achmas amaka, right? This guy says, you know, I had honey nut Cheerios for breakfast every day for the last 20 years. It never caused me harm. I can't stop. So now it happens because I have an injury. The honey makes me sick. Everybody knows that for a sick person to eat honey, they get sick. Honey Nut Cheerios never caused me problems without that, so you should have to pay. Kamash Balan, no, that's the Chiddush of Rav. The Rashba says it a little differently. Kefi his signum. The way the Rashba puts it is, this is Lashon. Avral Devei Rofe V'achol Dvash. Sheyesh Litos the Lomar Sheino Pshia Gemura. In other words, he's sticking with his part. The Pshia Gemura you don't have to pay, that's Pashat. Pshia you have to pay. The Havamina was, maybe you would make the mistake that this isn't Pshia Gemura. Kamash Malan Rak, this is Pshia Gemura. why is it Pashat that if it's lo nitan la'eged, it's pshia gemura, but la'avor al devei rofe is not pshia gemura? So it's like Adam said, because if it's lo nitan la'eged, what does Rashi say? Lo nitan rishus, right? So who are you violating? Kadosh Baruch. That's Pashat, it's pshia gemura. But if it's av al devei rofe, then maybe the doctor's wrong. So you could have said that's not a pshia gemura. That's kamash melon, it is pshia gemura. That's why he's potter from pay. Anyway, that's Rashba. Now, let's take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos dimas lo aver al devei rofe lo chashiv le poshea kol kach. So it's a little interesting machlokas, right? Tosfos is also trying to answer this kasha. Why do you need a gzer sakasov to potter aver al devei rofe? It's obvious. So Tosfos' answer is, it's not Poshea Kol Kach. That's what Adam was saying before. Right? If we were to use the terminology of the Rashba, Avrel Divrei Rofe is Pshia. It's not Pshia Gemura. Right? So there's an interesting Machlokas. In other words, Tosfos holds that Eged Yisera, the Rashba said, what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is, ultimately you're Pater because it is Pshia Gemura. Tosus is saying, you're Pater even though it's not Pshia Gemura. Right? Because we shouldn't, in other words, according to Tosfos, we're not Mechayev you on Pshia. As opposed to the Rashba. Now, each one says it. Now, everybody's going to agree that you're chayav for your pater for Eged Yisera, and you're chayav for Avrel Divrei Rofe. But the question is, how do you categorize it? According to the Rashba, you're chayav to pay for Pshia, you're pater from Shia Gemura, and according to Tosfos, you're pater from Shia. And the reason why we need the Zeres HaKasav is because Ochashav Lei Poshia Kol Kach. So again, the way the Rashba puts it is, you might have thought it was Pshia, it's not Pshia Gemura. Okay, I guess let's finish reading more quickly, because we're out of time. There's more to say here, but Alakuli Alma, fine. So far we've really been talking about the two opinions, who? The Tanakama and Rebbe Yehuda. So, Rabbanan Basrai, Dami Kosh Chai V'Shevus Chai V'Yipoi, B'chol Shem Chai V'Shevus Eino Chai V'Yipoi, Yipoi D'Tanu V'Kra L'Amali, Yibay Le'lech D'Tanu V'Rishmal, D'Tanu V'Rishmal, Omer Rabbi Rappe, Yikan Shenitan Rishos, L'Rofe L'Rafos. Tanu Rabbanan, Minayin Shem Alu Bot Smachin, Machmas Amaka, V'Nistra Amaka, Shechai V'Rachoso, V'Chai V'Yitei Lo, Shivto, Tanu Lomar Rak, Shifto Yitin, Rabbo Yibre, Yachal Afilu Shal Machmas Maka, Talmud Lomar Rak, Yus B'Yuda, Omer, Af Machmas Maka, Pater, Shenemar Rak, Igad Amri, Af Machmas Maka, Pater, Gamri, Kerabban and Basrai, Igad Amri, Af Machmas Maka, Pater, Mishabas, the Chaya B'Ripoy, Kiman, Kefla. Okay, the first thing we'll talk about tomorrow is today is the question of what does Rapo Yirape teach me? There's a fascinating Tosus here, and I recommend if you have a chance to look at for those of you who are masters for your Rikolo, you'll remember that Rabban and Tars Adam just two shot and what the Havamina is. It's quoted by the Tur and Simon Reish Lamed Vav in Yoridea. It's worth looking at that Rabban quoted by it. So you can look at the Tars Adam inside or look at it quoted by the Tur. The other very, very fascinating Marmakom on this is the Rabban in Parshas Bechukosai, Vayikra Perchavav Pasukirav. So there's a crest that on Erev Shabbos we do a little Divrei Hashkafa. So that Be'ezras Hashem is what we do. We do Divrei Hashkafa. No, it is. It's Divrei Hashkafa. Sure, we'll connect to the Parsha also. But we're going to do the Be'ashkafa tomorrow, Be'ezus Hashem, the Indian going to doctors, which is a very important topic. Very important topic. We're also going to talk about Umdina. Tosfos brings in the issue of Umdina in Dibur HaMaschil Alugot Smachim. And I want to focus on the Rambam Shita on Umdina. So if you haven't seen that yet, it's Perk Base, Halacha Yudalid, Tesvav, and Teszayin. And it's Kedai to look at the Nosei Kalim over there. It's a very difficult Rambam, very difficult Rambam. So that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow, Be'ezus Hashem. And then we'll go on in the Gemara and talk about, you know, the Tsar, all the Dalet Dvarim B'Makom Tzedek, what's the Havamina, and what I'd like to do also tomorrow, I hope, is the Gemara and Peheir Medbeis to get to it about the question of, very important question that the Rush brings up on the Sugya of Hadke Be'Androna, right? The Gemara says, you're chayv if you locked him up in a room. So look at the Rush on that, very important Rush. And we're going to work on Shitas HaRambam and Shitas HaRush. If you'd like to see on the Rambam, if you want to look at Achronim, there's a beautiful piece in the Ebn HaAzel, Perek Beis, Halacha Gimel. And look at the Gra on the Shulchan Aruch, Shin Pei Chesiv Zayin, the Gra, Sif Katan Lamed Ches. That's one Gra that you have to see. And the other Gra is on Simen Tav Chaf, Sif Katan Tez Zayin. So you should see those two Gras. And they are eye-opening and illuminating. They will change your Havana of the Sugya and all of Bava Kamma and probably all of life.